the Hallmarkies podcast. We are very excited today to be here to talk with an actor today who's going to be on the new movie on the Up Channel, the Christmas in Paris. And we have a true Frenchman here. We have Mr. Carl E. Landler is here. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner. And Lisa is here.
Hi, guys.
Yes. And Carl.
Hi, Rachel.
Yes. Carl, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And what we like to do with our guests is like to give them a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actor.
All right. So thank you so much for having me on the podcast. First of all, that's great. I'm very excited about being able to talk about the movie with you. So I'm Carl E. Landler, as you said. You said it perfectly well. That's amazing. Your accent is amazing.
No.
I am a French actor, and I've been extremely lucky that acting was actually my main job for all the last years. And I actually become an actor thanks to a TV show, an American TV show you probably know. It's Friends.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Nice. So when the TV show was airing in France for the first time, I think that was mid-90s or something like that, I originally bought it to learn English. I said, okay, I have to learn English. Sometimes my life it might help. So, and I was watching those actors having so much fun, you know, that was a comedy thing. And so they were just laughing all the time, and they were doing this like amazing, like acting together. And I was like, it might be extremely fun being an actor. I want to laugh, like as much as they laugh. And I was even more interested in the, you know, the behind the scene where they were like, you know, forgetting their lines, and they were like, you know, stumbling in what they have to say, and they were like laughing, they couldn't stop and they couldn't say their lines. And I like, I want to laugh like they laugh, and I want to make money.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So the money side, I realized that was harder, but more complicated. But I had good laugh on the way, and I still have good laugh, and I had good laugh on this movie, Christmas in Paris. So far I'm laughing, not all the way to the bank all the time, but I'm laughing.
So it was as fun as you hoped it would be.
Yes, you know,
Friends.
Yes, I had the pleasure to be on a very quite few famous French TV show, mm-hmm. but the last one I was on, I was a regular on a TV show named A Wonderful Family. It's a comedy TV show. So yeah, I got lucky to be able to do some comedy and crack jokes with an amazing cast. We were playing a family. So we were probably like sister, brothers and fathers and mothers plus cousins. So we were a lot of actors on that show. So we were bonding a lot. And so we got the chance for when we are filming seasons to spend a lot of time in the hotels, in Portugal, sometimes in the island, French island, like La Réunion, mm-hmm. Guadeloupe. So we got to travel and we got to laugh a lot. And, you know, of course, on the way, you have also more complicated situation. You know, it's not all easy to be an actor. But the good experience, the good jobs and gigs and the good friends around make it like a perfect ride.
That's awesome. I saw in your past that you were also a stuntman. Is that true?
It is true. And
that's exciting.
Amazing. Bravo.
That's exciting. How was that? How did you get into that?
So I was a professional gymnast when I was young.
Ooh.
So, you know, pommel horse, floor, horizontal bar, you know, the Olympic kind of thing. And I was pretty good. I was on the French team when I was a kid. And so the door was like pretty easy to open because I came back with a very high technical background. And I contacted Luc Besson. I don't know if you know Luc Besson. He's the one that's directing a lot of action films like The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And many others. And he's a big French producer. So anyway, I went to contact him and I said, you're the only one doing big action film in France and I have all those skills. Maybe we can work together. And from that, he introduced me to the stunt coordinator, the one of the main guys he was working with at the time. And then, you know, I did some kind of audition, stunt audition, and I showed what I can do. And because of my background and I was so technical, I jumped in the team right away. And from there, I did amazing things in stunt, and also allowed me to travel so much, probably even more than the acting, because I've been doing stunt in so many big films like Bollywood with the biggest star, Russia, Morocco, I mean, many countries. That was amazing because you get to do stuff that you don't do as a citizen, or as a normal person. Get to run on cars, to jump through windows, to get into cars, to be in a helicopter, to do so many things that you don't do in the real life. And you see explosions all around you, you run through fire. So, I mean, your kid side of yourself is really, really pleased, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you get paid for that, which is even better. Tell me.
No, I was just gonna say, was there anything that scared you? That you're like, I don't know if I can do that?
Yeah, all the time. twice, four, five times, you're like, oh, I'm doing this, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna hurt, it's gonna hurt. No choice, you have to go for it, right? They're all waiting for you, the camera is set up, or the team is waiting, and they have to move on the day. And they're like, action! Yeah. That's me. I have to jump, I have to fall, I have to get through that thing.
Oh, wow. So do you still do any of that now, or is it not really so much anymore?
No, the beauty of it is, like, because this is my personal skill in some way, I've been doing a lot of action things as an actor, as the lead in my country, and even on a sci-fi TV show here in the US. And I'm doing all the fights, and I love that. And I can have real good fight because I can handle this kind of thing. And so I can run and jump and slide. So, but this time, instead of being just a stunt guy that you don't really see, or just a dude in the background falling, or just being a stunt double, I'm very pleased to be able to do my own stunt as me, my own car, my own character. So, so that's even more fun.
That's awesome.
Does it terrify your family and friends, or do they love that you're doing all these stunts?
But they don't really know all the story. I keep stuff for me. Because sometimes, you know, when you have to fall from a rooftop and bounce here and there and then land on the ground. So they don't really want to know that, right?
Right. Yes, so I get that. I was going to say, did you have any stunts in Christmas in Paris?
let's see. Yeah. That was walking on the snow with the city shoe, you know, the shoe you have when you have a suit.
Oh, right.
So I did a little slide, but actually that was a fake one. I wanted to scare the crew.
Oh.
I was supposed to go to point A, from point A to point B, to meet my lovely partners, co-star, Rebecca Dalton, who play Robin. And as I'm walking, I say, oh, I'm going to do something. And I pretend to slide and almost fall. And when they say cut, they were like all white, you know, like they faded the face. They were scared. They were like, oh my God, we thought you were like broken your knee or something. Because they didn't want the shooting to stop, right? I said, they keep it. I did normal ones, but they keep one of them where I pretend to fall, and because they probably laughed at the edit. So that was.
Yeah.
That's really. I like it. I'll have to keep my eye out for that part in the movie.
Yeah, it's a small one. I did a big one, but they said that one is too big.
Too big.
You can't put it in. You're going to use the smaller one. But you're sitting while I'm sliding. This is me carrying the crew.
And that's funny. So, what part of France are you from? Originally,
I grew up around Paris, in Paris.
Okay.
I moved around that when I was young, and I moved over to the south of France a little bit later. And this is where I actually grew up as a teenager. So this is really where I was more independent, and I was going out, and I was meeting new friends and doing all the things the teenager is doing. The good stuff.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Care Of. And right now you can get 50% off your first order of Care Of at takecareof.com. Enter code HallmarkUse50, which is different than our previous code, HallmarkUse50, and you can get your discount. So what they do at Care Of is they provide vitamins that you can get. You can get them that they come on a regular basis, on a subscription basis, or you can get a one-time order. And they start you out with an online quiz, 5 minutes, and they try to figure out kind of what your best vitamin routine will be through these questions. And I think it's really helpful. And it's easy, convenient. They come in little packets, the vitamins, so you can just take them. You can have them in your purse. You can take them easily. And it's also, there's just great attention to detail with everything. Everything has your name on it. Everything is really tried to be prepared for you. And we're going to be going into the times of New Year's resolutions and trying to be more healthy. So I think this is a great thing. It would make a great gift for people in your life who are trying to get healthy. So Lisa, you've had a chance to try Care Of. What do you think?
I have. And I did, I will say that, I've never been a vitamin person per se, mainly because I don't like all the sorting and all the getting stuff together and which one should I take? And it was too much. But with Care Of, you take the quiz and you find out what your goals are, whether it's, you know, wellness or sleep or energy or even fitness. And it basically gives it, you know, an actual like customized pack, and they come pre-packaged already. So you just pull one out of the slot. It says your name on it and it has a little quote of the day. And I love it because I just grab it out in the morning, put it in my bag. And when I get to work and I sit down, I open it up and I take them at my desk, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you check out your first order. You can get 50% off. Go to takecareof.com, enter HallmarkUse50 at checkout. To America before, or was this project your first time coming out here?
No, I started to travel actually early on, because you were talking about having a stint in the movie Christmas in Paris. But yeah, I had another stint. That was the language, right? I have to be very careful on the English to make sure I was understandable and I was not missing some little words in the middle, right? Grammar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I had to travel, not because I knew I was shooting Christmas in Paris, but I knew, and my thought process was, okay, now you have been watching Friends, the TV show. You know some lines, but you know only the punchline of the jokes. So let's see if you are capable of having a conversation.
Right.
So I started there. I started a week, 2 weeks, and I had this idea as well that maybe you can work in the US and work in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I had to start my travels back and forth. I started like a few years ago, and it really helped me with the language. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
It helps to be in the environment where you don't have a choice but to try and figure it out. The few times I've left the United States and I've tried to go to different countries, I've tried to speak the language because I think that's only appropriate. And, you know, it takes a few days, but then you're like, oh, okay, I got it. And so, yeah, I think that's really amazing that you did that. So yeah, that's very cool.
Doing it as well, I think it's important. Each time I'm traveling in a country, I try to be able to say, hello, thank you, you're welcome, right. Mm-hmm. And a few more funny things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how did you end up getting this role in Christmas in Paris? They just had auditions in France, or how did you have that happen?
It's a mix of two things. First, I got the audition. Mm-hmm. I was in LA at the time. And okay. So it came from LA, from Los Angeles, because I have mm-hmm. a reputation here in LA. So it came in LA. They are looking for a French dude. Oh, okay. I didn't really know. I knew that was a movie, a Christmas film. I didn't know that it was the lead, actually. I thought that was a part in the film. So mm-hmm. I sent it, and it went extremely fast. I mean, let's say on Monday I got the audition, a tape. I sent it for Tuesday, right? They got the tape. I do the scenes they sent me. The productions came back on Wednesday to my management here in LA, and they said, oh, we are interested with this dude. Can you put it on hold? Tomorrow we come back to you. Because I probably wasn't the one on the final list. And Thursday they came back to me and they said, okay, bingo, you have it. And yeah, it went so fast. And then
wow.
Monday, Tuesday, I was on the plane.
Amazing. Wow.
So fast.
That's mm-hmm. amazing. What was the shooting schedule? Was it a very short shooting schedule? I know some of these can be done very, very quickly.
Yeah,
so how, yeah.
TV, usually, yes, you go fast. You go 6-9 pages a day. So that can be 90 minutes. It's probably 3 weeks.
Right.
This one, because we had to travel in France, in Paris, it took more than 4 weeks because we have the travel days and we have some shorter days in France and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where in France, when I met the network, I learned as well that the French network actually gave my name to the production that contacted the management. So that was another side of the story, which like I never worked with that French network. I used to work with the main network in France and then worked with the other ones. And I was very thrilled that they actually knew me and they gave my name as an option in production.
Nice.
That was nice, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. Awesome. What parts of, I mean, so I know the story goes to Montana, but it wasn't in Montana that you guys filmed, right? It was probably Canada area?
Exactly.
Okay. the Canadian Montana. We gotcha.
Canadian Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah, very form of Americans.
Right. So you filmed in Canada, but then you guys actually went to Paris, yes, for the, is that what you said? You went to Paris to shoot there for part of the movie.
Exactly.
Was that nice to be back?
I mean, that was great. I was so thrilled because I'm Parisian. I'm living in Paris, right? I'm here in LA. I get cast. I shoot in Canada, and then they fly me in Paris. I was like, oh, it's perfect. They bring me to my country.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And so I get to shoot that movie, this American film, in Paris. And after, we had to go back to Canada to keep going, right? And that was very cool. And that was even more cool that I can show some things to the Canadian crew and the actors. And we get to eat some very good food and drink some very good wine. And so they were extremely pleased to be in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going to France with a French person is probably different than me and my sister going and just dropping down and trying to figure our way around.
Yeah. Even if Paris is not that big, you still really don't know where you go, what you do, and you don't have someone to give you the addresses for sure.
Right, right. Trying to figure out even just the arrondissements, like just trying to figure out how to navigate from one to the other. I told her that we needed 2 weeks, 1 week to get used to it, and then another week to actually go out and do stuff, and figure our way out. Yeah,
it's not a bad idea.
Figure our way around.
Yeah. Because it's easy to, specifically if you don't walk too much in the city, which the weather was great. I mean, I hope you walked as much as possible because it's so beautiful. But when you go to the subway or the metro station, yeah, and you get out somewhere else, you don't really know where you go, you know, so and you miss the entire city.
This is true. Plus, I didn't realize on the metro that when you go to your stop, the doors don't always automatically open. There's a little latch.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, and I was stood there, and I missed like 3 stops until somebody very graciously came over and showed me, and I was like, oh, thanks, because, you know, in New York, and the subway just opens, and I just kept missing stops, and finally somebody was very nice and showed me how to open the door and let me out. I was like, oh, thank you. So now I know.
Yeah, no, you know, he was looking at you all the way, like, oh, she tried to get out. and she's bumping into the door. She's bumping into the door.
What would you say is the biggest misconception Americans have about France and French life?
Let's say, we're actually nice people. We're not all rude and all bad. Maybe Parisians a little bit, you know, because everything is fast and things have to go fast and they have no kind of patience. But we're nice and we love to communicate with people. And specifically, as you said, when you try to speak the language, they really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what I found. As long as I walked in and said, you know, bonjour, and I just let everybody know right away, like, je parle français, like, un petit peu, please be nice to me. And then everybody was actually very nice. I didn't have anybody be mean to me at all.
Yeah.
Nope, so. You get some, because, you know, you have some for sure, like everywhere, but you have some rude waiter, some, you know, happen because, yeah. You know, they make it a thing. There is some bars in France that it's known and famous for having the waiter to be rude at you, right? So that's their thing. So I don't know why people go there. That's so unbearable. But that's the thing. The server doesn't say hello, doesn't bring the bread. You say, wait for the water. He's just like, he just doesn't even pay attention to you. You keep begging for him to feed you.
I guess everybody has their claim to fame.
Exactly, right?
Come here and everybody will be really rude. That's funny. So when did you guys film this?
We did the movie, I think, between April and May.
Yeah. So you didn't have to do it when it was like super hot, do a Christmas movie?
No, yeah, no, we were lucky because, thank God, wasn't like summer, and we actually got also a lot of snow, and they were like surprised that we got that much snow. I mean, some morning we got the blizzard. It was, I don't know, in Fahrenheit, but that was -11, which is below freezing temperature.
Yeah,
that was cold. And you know, you got those scenes, you're all proper, you have your tie, your shirt, and stuff like that, and that's it, right? And you're the guy sitting out of the limousine, and everything is fine. No, everything is cold.
Right.
Everything is very cold.
You have to walk and look normal. Like, no, it's not freezing out here. I'm just in a suit, no jacket. But yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
Oh no, that was like, you know, all the, I know you call that the warm little thing you put on your shoes, on mm-hmm. your gloves. I was having all of them everywhere.
And, oh my gosh.
And I was still trying to not, you know, clench my teeth, like, you know, to articulate between my lines. So when there was action, I was like very relaxed. And when they were seeing cut, I was like,
oh, and then, oh gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny. So when you found out that you got the role, did you just freak out? Were you so excited?
The two. I was freaking out out of excitement, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I had 90 pages to learn.
Yeah.
Now, I'm shooting in a week, and it's all in English. And you know, this kind of film, you talk a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, a lot of scene, a lot of dialogues. Mm-hmm. So, Carl. So just like, try to get the schedules as much as possible ahead of time. Try to see which days, and which scenes are we shooting first? And like this, you can prioritize, right? That's the thing you have to do. And right. So I start to learn the first few days. I was off book, off page. And then I knew enough for the next few of the 5, 6, and 7 days, right? The days after. And then each time I was like kind of checking a day, done. I was moving forward my learning process. I was learning the next day, the next 3 days, and I was making sure I was almost off book with the day number 5, 6, and 7. Each time I was finishing the day, I was always making sure that I knew my week ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to learn the whole script in one go, because it's impossible, it's too much lines, and it's not theater. It's not like doing this over and over every day, right? So yeah, that was the main thing for me. That was, how can I prioritize and work smart? work on the English as well, some, you know, stressing the right words, making the right liaisons, and all of that, you know, to be as much as possible, you know, fluent and stuff for the audience to be able to catch the language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's, I mean, because you wanted to, you don't want, I think if I was memorizing it all, I think it might sound kind of robotic, you know, like I'm just, you want it to sound natural.
As much as possible, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are going to enjoy it. I've seen two trailers. I found two different ones and I've watched them and I think people are going to really dig it. I mean, of course, the scenery is gorgeous. That's like a character unto itself, but I think the story itself is pretty cute. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this weekend.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a cute story, you know.
And yeah.
So you can see even on the you have trailers on YouTube. You can find some, and you have Hub TV, Facebook. You have like they put some on their own page of the network. They put some little scenes. Uh-huh. That's perfect to get you to the mood and to understand the kind of the dynamic of the two characters, Robin and Luca, my character, and Robin, my love interest. Uh-huh. But it's fun because there's kind of two storylines. There's the storyline, probably the storyline A, which is the principal with the Lucas meets Robin, Robin meets Lucas, and then, you know, they challenge themselves and they're agreeing, disagree, they, you know, they have to make it work. And then you have the B storyline, which is Robin has her storyline, and Lucas has his own, which is he has a secret. And as he's moving forward in the story, Robin starts to understand that something is going on and discover the secret. And that might bring some trouble in the Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because when I did Lucas, I tried to have kind of to play out the storyline with his secrets. That's something heavy that he has to face in some point, and he's challenging himself by doing this business deal because he knows that's bringing him closer to what he's afraid of. Uh-huh. And at the same time, I wanted to play Lucas that just see for the first time Robin, and he's kind of, wow, having a major crush on the girl. Okay, I like that one. How can I can't get the girl, right? And then he said, right. Robin is challenging. She's like not easy to catch. And so he has to adjust his game, maybe being less just the one that want to hit on her, but more, okay, maybe I have to be the real me. And how can I show her that I really like her? So that's this kind of two things.
Yeah.
And time. That was fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So you got to work with Rebecca Dalton as your lead. Exactly. That must have been fun.
Yeah, she's fun. We had a good time.
You guys had pretty good chemistry together.
Yeah, that works well. And mm-hmm. plus the first few days of shooting, that it was in France. So that was perfect because everyone was on location. Everyone was happy to not be shooting in Canada, as they probably could. So right. Yeah, the mood were so... Well, we're all happy. So Mia was happy to be back home, speak my language, and show them some stuff. Mm-hmm. Then they were happy to be here. And with Rebecca, so we were completely jet lagged because we shot right away. We landed at like night, morning, wake up, shoot.
So now we're like, yeah.
That's tough. And then at 1 p.m. In France, you're kind of done. You're like falling asleep, right? that helped us to balance. Help us to get together closer and to laugh at it. Uh-huh. and do a lot of improv because all the scenes when you walk around, you visit the city, and it's a lot of improv. You know, the camera is familiar, they want chemistry, so that the first day we almost never met before. So, but it was so easy because I think we were so tired. So all the social kind of barriers and things like that, they were like, nope. Not anymore.
Yeah, everybody was too tired.
That's funny. It's good strategy on their part, I guess.
Yeah, they made it worse. So let's exhaust them on the plane in jet lag. They don't need to think.
That's funny. So you did the first part of the movie then in the first part of the shoot in Canada then? And then went over to France?
Yes, we did actually the opposite. We started in France, And then I was in Canada. I did all of the meetings, the fittings, the production meetings and everything. And then we, a few days after, we jump on a plane and we all meet in, we all met in France, Paris. And then we flew back right away to Canada and to keep going the entire rest of the field.
Okay. I'd like to thank our second sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are our friends over at HelloFresh. And right now you can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9. That's Hallmarkies9. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. And we've seen these all around. These meal kits are getting very popular. But what they do really, what they focus on at HelloFresh is they make the products, make the meals simple, delicious, and flexible. And so you have this recipe card that helps you to see all along the way so you know that you're making it right at all the different phases, which I think really helps. Be like, okay, that's how the chicken's supposed to look here. And awesome. And I tried it recently with 3 meals and I thought everything was really yummy. It was different than what I would make just by myself. And it's just nice as a single person because, you know, a lot of times I'm not going to use a whole big thing of spices or a whole big thing of sauces. And I'll just have something in my fridge forever because of one meal. Whereas with HelloFresh, you just get the amount that you need for that recipe. So I thought that was real nice. And Lisa, you had a chance to try HelloFresh. What do you think?
I did. And I got the, for the family size. So, what I loved about it is my kids are old enough now to help out. And so I hand them the card and I say, come on, help me. And they absolutely love it. They love unpacking the bag. They love getting everything sorted. They love chopping stuff. They really do love helping out. So I do like that part of it. And it kind of gets them on board with just kind of meal prepping and knowing what goes into it. So yeah, we've enjoyed it so far. Everything's been super tasty. So yeah.
Great. Yeah. So to get 9 free meals, go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9 and then use code Hallmarkies9 at checkout. That's good. Yeah. That's really good. And so was it fun working with Daphne Zuniga?
Oh.
She's a legend.
She's
yes.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Imagine for me. I was a teenager years ago. And I was watching Melrose Place on TV. Right?
Yep.
So every time after school, that was airing like around 5 p.m. in France. Every time after school, I was running home, not doing my homework, watching Melrose. And I was watching the guys and Daphne Zuniga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, years later, when they told me, oh, you know who's going to be in the movie with you? And they showed me a picture. I was like, are you kidding? I'm like, from the south of France, being a teenager, let's say, being honest, having a crush on her, right? Over 10 years later, I'm filming an American film as the lead, and I have Daphne Zuniga in the movie with me. It's like, wow. It's like, I will never imagine or think something like that when I was 14, 15. For me, that was, it's not a dream, but it was like, wow, it's another achievement.
She's the sure thing. I mean, this is really exciting. That's great.
Not speaking English at all in the South. Being in the movie. I mean, that was great. I was very, very excited. And she's so sweet and so professional. I mean, you can see she knows everything what's going on set. There's nothing that, you know, that she doesn't see or doesn't understand. So she's ahead of a lot of things, you know. She knows that's not going to work out. She knows that maybe here, she put more like here. She knows where she has to move regarding to the camera. I mean, she knows so many things. It's very sweet to work with. I mean,
that's great.
That was a good experience.
Good.
I love her. I was obsessed with her when I was a kid. I wanted to just be her best friend. I actually wanted to be her. I just thought she was the coolest thing ever. So that's exciting. Yeah.
I should have been the movie.
Well, we're very excited. So we like to end our interviews with what we call some silly questions, some fun questions.
Right.
You ready? All right. So what is your favorite holiday drink?
It's a hot chocolate.
Oh, very good. Do you like with marshmallows?
I never tried that. I think this is your thing. Oh, don't put marshmallow in hot chocolate. What are you talking about?
You're in America. You need to do as we do.
Lisa, I found, I mean, things amazing. I found chips, you know, chips wrapped in chocolate.
Yeah.
Here in America. I was like,
we'll put anything in chocolate, fry it, put it in chocolate, especially in the South. Yeah, we'll make some.
People do chocolate covered bacon. I didn't see that.
Oh, listen, I tried the bacon donuts thing. It's not too bad. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I actually like them. Okay, it's my turn. So your favorite holiday treat, and it can be a cookie or a snack, whatever you like for the holidays.
I like the saucisson.
What is that?
Saucisson, it's a French sausage, salty sausage, dry.
Oh, savory.
It's very good. It's good. And it took me a long time to find something similar here, except if you find this kind of French shop. But I found one that is quite close, but I love charcuterie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Christmas, exactly. Christmas, the good stuff is all over the table.
Do you have a sweet you like, or are you not really that into sweets?
Yeah, I'm more salty.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, what is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Song would be the song in the Christmas film, which is Die Hard. This is another kind of Christmas movie.
Right.
Think about jingle bells, la 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 la. That kind of song. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Okay. So this might be tricky, but you can say your own if you want to. Right. Favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, it
can be Die Hard if you want.
Yeah, it can be Die Hard.
I just said that one. I love Die Hard, and I love Bridget Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's a good one.
That was a very cool one.
Clever.
And I'm kind of good. I'm a guy, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, very well done. I really liked it.
Yeah, very good. Okay. What is your favorite holiday tradition? Like, decorating the tree, or getting presents, or just something you do really like to do with the holidays?
Yeah, so lately I've been doing Santa Claus.
That's cute.
So each year I try to be a different Santa Claus, right? I can't help it. I have to bring some funny things in the middle. So one day I was the Santa Claus that got the flu. My nephew, the kids, right? So they're small, they're young. So they're, you know, in their bedrooms, the door is closed, and I'm doing all the scenery, going in the living room and talking. Where are the kids? Oh, and I'm doing this coughing. The other year, I think I was doing a very, very, very old Santa Claus that was falling on the ground and trying to walk. And so the kids, same thing, they're in the bedroom. And they hear me just like dropping things on the ground, and her mother, which is my sister, playing with me, like, oh, are you okay, Santa Claus? Let me get up. And I'm like, oh, my age, you know. So every year I'm doing Santa Claus with a twist.
I love that. That's awesome.
Really cute. You're working on your craft and your acting.
Yeah.
It's not a single dual moment.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so what is your most memorable Christmas gift? And it could be from when you're a kid or as an adult.
Okay, so I was very active as a kid. You know, I was jumping around and running everywhere. And so I was driving my mother crazy. And my sister was, you know, copying with me, but she's a little bit older. So in some point, it was like, okay, Carl, that's enough. During Christmas, they were allowing me to be me. So I was able to stay late, and I was able to just, like, you know, play with my sister more than she would have accepted. Love her a little bit more than she would have accepted. And my mother wasn't telling me to stop. So that was, I think, my best Christmas moment.
Oh, that's really cute.
That's one. And I think overall, my best souvenir in Christmas is, like, I don't have any bad memories. So that means all my Christmas was pretty cool.
Oh,
I love that. That's great. Yeah. Okay. Which do you prefer, Ebenezer Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch is like the cartoon, the
Shrek. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like him. And I think this is Jim Carrey, right? Doing the voice.
Yeah, he does the live action one, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like his character a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Okay. So this is a big deal here. So I'm gonna ask.
Why did not mess up?
Christmas lights. Are you an all clear lights kind of guy, or do you like the multicolored lights? This is a big debate, Carl. So we need to know what side you fall on.
And I'd love to notify your audience and try to find an answer. I mean, this is a period we have to compromise, I know, but let's say I love maybe the pure white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Very classic, very, very sleek. Yes.
And the key is the multicolor. So I would have to compromise with my nephew if I do that to my sister place again.
would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Oh, a snowball fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, bring it on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, and then when it comes to gift wrapping, do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper, or do you just cover it in newspaper and you're done?
Oh, I think I don't want to do the wrapping at the very beginning, but then when I start, because I have to start, right? I have to buy the thing and stuff. But then when I start, I get kind of nerdy. So kind of a geek. I'm like, okay, I have to put that corner very well. I have to fold it like that. And I can even like slide it inside. You don't see it. And then if I tape here, it's perfect. And then how can I tight around the box as much as possible? Like it's clean. You know, there's no crisp or whatever around. It's not, you know, wrinkles. It's just perfect. So I don't want to do it because when I get to it, I get to it good.
Yes. I'm the same way. I get obsessed and I have coordinating papers and bows and yeah, it's the whole production. Yeah.
It takes time to do things.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Last question. What is your ugliest Christmas sweater? Do you have a ugly Christmas sweater?
I think I used to have one when I was young. But that was my sister that needed it for me.
Your revenge, huh?
Yeah, I think that probably, you know what? Probably. She knew what she was doing. Because if you don't wear it, she's crying. My mom say, wear it. So I used to wear it. And then at some point have a big, like teddy bear kind of peluche, you know, a big bear.
Yeah.
But that's actually E.T., you know, Steven Spielberg, extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. So I got the big size E.T. alien things, and that was fitting for him. So when I wasn't able to wear it anymore because I was very young and small, I put it on my peluche, and still on my peluche.
Over
probably 20, 25 years there.
Oh, that's really cute. I like that.
That
Yay.
Is really cute.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, you are just nailing this test.
You
just
did it.
Passed.
You win.
Wine colors.
The French town. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, that's great. Well, we are really excited for the movie. It was really fun to get to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
So are you on, do you have social media you'd like to share?
Yes, please. So my name is a little bit tricky. It's Carl E. Lendler. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I'm sharing a lot of the movie lately, promoting the movie. So go get on the social media and you'll find the date, when it's going out, and all the little other live that I can do with the network. So we'd love you to check this out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll have all that information in the description section. So
perfect.
Definitely everybody needs to follow you. And thanks. This was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it.
Time. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I mean, I had so much fun.
Yay.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas. And we'll hopefully get a talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Joyeux Noël.
Yes. Well, we'd like to thank Carl for coming on the podcast. That was really fun. It was so fun to get a different perspective on making these movies. And so I really enjoyed talking with him. And Lisa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lisa Fay Co.
great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube and Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. We have our patron group, which means so much to us. And we try to make it worth your while with exclusives and giveaways and other fun stuff. So definitely check all that out in the description section. We'll have the links. And then we also have our merch store, which they're having sales pretty much all of December. So you can get all kinds of When Calls the Heart and Hallmarkies and holiday designs from artist Jessica Miller. We've got all kinds of cute stuff. Would make great gifts for the Hallmarkie in your life. So definitely check that out. The link will be in the description on TeePublic.com/Hallmarkies. And so we'd love for you to take a look at that. And so thanks so much, Lisa, for coming on. And thank you to Carl. And let us know your thoughts on any of the things that we talked about. We would love to hear either on Twitter or on the comment sections here on YouTube. So thanks again. And we will talk to you all later. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.